This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rarely do I ask this. I'm going to want the open plate again later on in the show. Did anybody notice a little Easter egg that was dropped in there by Owen? Did you hear the open?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a little Easter egg in there for everybody.
What's that?
I will tell you, maybe it's 7. Maybe it's 6:40.
Maybe in April.
Maybe at 8. Yeah. Oh, 8's a great time for it. You want to do that at 8?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not now?
Because I want to talk about the Guardians taking on the Detroit Tigers. This is what I want to talk about with you. I'd like to discuss it with you right now. Because we're playing the Detroit Tigers. And you know, one team is fighting for its life altogether. The other team is going to the postseason. Is in the postseason. And we'll be hosting the Detroit Tigers coming up this Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's going to be a fun time for everybody involved. I think so. Do you... The Tigers won yesterday... They pushed the Astros out. It's the first time in 7 years the Astros haven't been in the ALCS. That's a hell of a streak altogether.
Since it was the Indians and the Blue Jays.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So a lot of people hate the Astros, and with good reason. They're tired of hearing about them and all the other stuff, and obviously with the cheating and everything like that. You know, and we pick and we choose. I understand that. We don't need to re-go over that. I do feel a little different now playing the Tigers because it was a team that... It was a team that I thought was like, oh man, they're gonna be trouble coming up in a couple years or next year or the year after that. I didn't think you'd play them in the postseason this year, and I gotta tell you, I got used to the idea not really hating Detroit. Did you ever hate the Tigers or hate Detroit?
Yeah, I did. You know, really, when the Illich situation where they were outspending. Everybody, that's when I was annoyed with them because they were doing everything they could to try to win. Yeah. So I was always monitoring like the off-season moves. And, you know, it was like, man, they're not the Yankees, but they're willing to spend money. So I think it's at that point. But that sense gone away. I mean, outside of, you know, hey, they're in our division. You're supposed to hate the teams in our division. We've had those conversations before. That doesn't really register in baseball these days.
Do you hate anybody in the division?
No,
I don't like the White Sox. I really dislike the White Sox.
I told you that with the way that I watch the sport these days, it's a lot more passive than the other sports. Like I told you, in the NBA, the whole league is about hating the other teams, the players, the coaches, everybody.
It's a player.
They're announcers.
Ball. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Football. Football. The way we monitor the sport is just different. So there seems like there's winners and losers and everything. Baseball, as a Guardians fan, I'm just not. I'm more passive than I think like the diehards and the gatekeepers that we talk about all the time in baseball. So I don't really have that contempt the way I did like when I was a kid.
I guess I feel the same way in a lot of ways. I really dislike the White Sox. Everything about it, man. It's just I just don't like them, and I can't really put a finger on why. If I really try to explore, I think it might just become a little bit too deep in the minutia to care because we're getting ready to play the Tigers. The Royals, maybe like the Royals, just because of the whole Bobby Witt thing. But you gotta clear another opponent to get to the Royals. So you know, hopefully we get to talk to them at another juncture. The Yankees, that's easy, but they're not in
the
division.
What's the Bobby Witt thing?
Just because he's younger and he's really, really good, and it's like we have our star, they have their star. It's a comparable thing. Maybe John Sherman. Like, you feel me reaching here already, right? With the Royals?
Yeah, I've never heard you say anything the history of the show about Bobby Witt and the Royals.
I haven't really had a reason to. Have I ever had a reason to come in here and go, you know, I really hate
this
that
could be
freaking
a new bit.
Bobby Witt
Things
Jr.
Ken hates that I've never seen him or heard him hate before, because that would be one of them.
We are different people. There's things I hate that I don't tell you about.
That's what I mean. I'd love to explore that a little more. Maybe set a topic aside. Things I've never heard Ken mention or reference that he has this disdain for. Because that's it. If you could keep that bottled up, that's amazing.
But I don't hate Bobby Witt. I told you I'm reaching here. I don't hate Bobby Witt
or
the Royals.
So you mentioned something while you were talking about hating the Royals that you don't even believe.
I said maybe. I said I could see myself in the future hating the Royals. I don't hate them now. I'm not feigning hate.
Okay.
Golly, it's 6:08 in the morning. You're busting my ass already. Jesus.
You said it. I'm sitting here reacting.
Lord Almighty in heaven.
I was interested in that. I was like, damn, what did Ken have something in buried deep within about Bobby Witt that I didn't know about? And what else is in there? What else can we chip away at?
I guess we're going to have to, little by little, you're going to have to do it, because I can't think of things off the top of my head that I haven't told you I hate already.
But yeah, I think we're on the same page.
I don't hate Bobby Witt or the Royals. Maybe I will, but I said that was a reach. Anyway, real quick, I don't hate the Twins. The closest thing I hate is the White Sox right now. And it's easy to just not care about them because they're terrible. I remember hating the Tigers vividly for all the same reasons you just said. So... Is there? Well, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were going to say something.
No, but I don't feel that with our team. I've been so focused on us and overachieving the whole year, and then holding on, right?
Yeah.
After we built that lead and making sure, man, is this going to fall apart at any point? And you know, there were some nervous,
it was touch and go,
anxious moments, but then they came out on the other side of it. And so I've been so deep into that like we thought maybe we'd be scoreboard watching when it got down to two. At one point, and then they kind of took care of business. So it wasn't even one of those things where we were like holding watch parties to make sure other teams lost. I mean, at the very end, even we were wondering if we had a chance at the one seed, and then we kind of didn't really go for the one seed. We didn't go as all out as I think that we were anticipating.
Owen was agitated.
Some of us sitting in my chair did not want us to do. I mean, I still can't believe they didn't go for it, but hey, it's three AL Central teams in the Final Four, so turns out maybe we're okay right
and
now.
And we were 7-6. Was that this year?
Yeah, 7-6 against the Tigers.
Well, would you rather have played, real quick
aside,
we
were 1-4 against the Astros.
Let's stop in a driveway real quick. Would you rather play the Royals coming up Saturday or the Tigers?
The Royals or the Tigers? Probably right now the Royals, right?
Yeah, the Royals.
Just because.
And
the Royals kind of backed into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Royals for sure, especially with them not scoring much.
Yeah, I feel the same way. So now we got
they have the best player out of the two teams.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, this makes it.
And Bobby Witt, the guy you hate.
And the guy you despise. No, I do think this is.
The visceral loathing of Bobby Witt.
I think this adds.
Grip my teeth every time I see him.
Even though I don't think nationally anybody's going to care about this series, I think locally here, this adds more juice to it. Because we see this team. It's not like they're going away. Like the Astros, you know, we played them 5 times this year. With this team, like the minute you get eliminated, man, whoever loses this series is going to be staring at an AL Central team that is celebrating either in their park or the opposite one. And you're going to be going nuts. And that will stick with you throughout the offseason.
I kind of got used to the idea of not hating Detroit. In fact, kind of liking Detroit. Like, they're my nice neighbor up around the corner there of the lake. We all live on a lake, and they are around the corner there on the other side of the lake, and we wave to each other
like
and
you
say
come
hi.
Out, yeah, you drink your coffee in the morning and go, hi, Tigers.
I got my coffee. The entire city, like
I think on a certain day your voice does carry.
Yeah.
So you can hear Detroit
in the early morning.
Talking.
Yeah, in the early morning. You got to be careful. Like, if you guys are having a fight, you got to be like, shh.
Yeah, they're going to hear you.
Jesus, they're going to hear you. You have the Tigers, which are the Tigers. They've been whatever for the last decade. But you remember J.D. Martinez and – you know, when Victor ended up being there, and when you had Miguel Cabrera, and when Verlander first started and making noises like this, and da, da, da. And then I've never really had anything against the Red Wings. I'm not a, you know, everybody knows how I feel about Columbus, so I'm not really. Steve Yzerman was pretty cool, and that whole thing. The Pistons really aren't worth thinking about, and at least not yet. We had some fun with the Pistons back in the day. Oh, yeah, they do. They have JB, which we, oddly enough, play in our home opener. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then...
Now, you guys all do cheer for the same college team, mostly, in Michigan.
I do not cheer for Michigan, and I do not cheer for Michigan State. I have nothing against those schools. That's the difference. Thank you
very
much. The
one thing you do have in common...
I hate Ohio State.
You all hate Ohio State.
It is close to Hillsdale College, and I know that you've aligned yourself more and more with their values.
Coming up next month.
Over the last 4 years. Anyway, so it's closer there, and who am I missing? Oh, yeah, people like the Lions. Don't you like the Lions?
Yeah, you know what? That is...
You don't like the Lions?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I think people kind of like the Lions around here. Yeah, what's that all about? What, you secretly hate the Lions?
I just don't care. Oh, I already have.
Is it the GLC?
A team that I love and a team that I support. So,
well, okay, it's I understand that, but it's like, well, I mean, the Lions aren't bad. Ain't no one got a problem with the. Maybe I'm wrong. Mitch, do you have a problem? Well, Mitch likes every team.
Well, they're not in our way. The Lions aren't in our way or anything.
No. Yeah. Their coach is fun.
Unless you don't like that, you know, they haven't won a Super Bowl. They haven't been to a Super Bowl. And so if they do get to a Super Bowl, now we're the team.
Right. Like, my whole thing was people were rooting for a Browns. Like, when we both made the playoffs last year, they were like, what, it would be great if it was a Browns-Lions Super Bowl. Yeah. No, it wouldn't. I don't want to hate the Lions.
I do remember people
if
saying
that,
if we lose,
yeah. I don't want to hate the Lions. Because before, like, the whole story was, Lima and I got home from school when we didn't know each other. We watched the Cubs, and then we'd watch the Indians. And then I obviously have never felt the same way about the Cubs ever since 2016. I still haven't felt the same way about the Braves, or Marlins, for that matter. So I knew I'd feel some reaction there. But I have not hated the Tigers for 10 years.
Since Jim Leland.
Since Jim Leland. And even he, like, looking back on it, is kind of cool. And Miguel Cabrera, towards the end of his career, I'm like, hey, Miguel Cabrera is a hell of a player. Future Hall of Famer, great. And there's a lot, but it feels like there's a lot on the line here now. Because it's been a great season. You want to go further. Tanner Bibee's going to start on Saturday. I have a lot of confidence in him. They have Tarek Skubal, and then they basically have a cavalcade of whatever. So I kind of like our rotation a little bit better than what they have. They've had some guys banged up. Our lineup, you know, that can be an either or. Bullpen's fantastic here. So, I mean, 2 out of 3, I kind of like it. I'm kind of down with the cause.
Do you approach something like this where, like, the Tigers, everybody's talking about just how red hot the Tigers are. Does part of you, I know baseball's all about getting hot at the right time. They're hot. It's the right time. That, they're due. They're due now to kind of have a setback. Like, yes. How long can they possibly keep this going?
The cooling period's got to be here soon.
Right. Is it this weekend? And now, you know, we have some time off before Saturday's game one.
The 2 days off make me feel a little better.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Because it's like, all right, cool down a little bit. Just cool your jets here just a little bit.
We went 7-6 against them. I feel better that one of those losses was Scott Barlow. He's not on the
nice,
team, right?
Nice.
One of those losses was Spencer Howard in like an opener
thing.
Oh,
man.
He's not on the team. One of those losses was Carlos Carrasco. The other one was Gavin Williams. Bibee had a loss as well.
And we're going to see right now, would the projection be Skubal in game 2 and game 5?
They haven't
if necessary.
Put it out there yet. I would suppose that.
That's an interesting setup because obviously you're the underdog in the games that he pitches. So game 1, vitally right. important. You can't lose game 1 and then be staring at that dude in game 2 the way that he has pitched this year.
Boy, that would be terrible.
So game 1, you want to talk about big moment for this team and their entire road to the World Series kind of hanging in the balance. Like, it gets real very fast. It's not like we'll ease it. Best of 7 with LeBron. We'll ease into this series. No, there is no easing into this at all. You kind of have to. Is it a must-win game 1 on Saturday, Kenny?
They're all must-win, though. All right. I got to figure out something else I hate to tell you. Keep it a secret coming up later on. And I want to play that open later because there's definitely an Easter egg in there that Owen just popped in there. And Owen, I want to let everybody know I appreciate you for it, my friend.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
ALDS matchup is finally set. Here we go. Tigers eliminating the Houston Astros yesterday. Kenny, how much of it did you take in?
The whole game. Watched the whole thing. Because I'd written two separate things of what I wanted to do at 6 o'clock on Fox 8. And what? What are you shaking your head for?
Oh, no. I missed. We had to go to football practice.
Oh.
It was 2-1 when we got in the car by the time I got to the parking lot. 5-2. It was amazing.
Yeah, I had a real communal experience there. And sat and watched, took in the game, took in the Michael Kay, who is good. He just is the play-by-play guy for the Yankees. Took in the Michael Kay and rooted against the Astros. Couldn't help myself.
Yeah, we had
it
on.
Even though I knew it could be at my own demise at some point.
We had a little date night yesterday, and we were outside, Owen, a place that you frequent.
Yes. All right.
Over
okay.
in Avon Lake. And everybody was huddled there watching when Ibanez brought in the three runs. And everyone's like, well, I guess we're playing the Tigers. Bring on the Tigers. But there were a lot of interested parties watching there. So playoff fever. I can only speak to what I saw and what I was around. There were like 10 people paying attention. So.
Playoff games should only be played in the daytime. They're wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It is awesome. I wonder how many people are trying to maneuver their way out of having to work that second half of the day on Monday. The Saturday is easy. I mean, Saturday is going to be a party down here.
Hopefully most of them. Hopefully most of them are able to weasel their way out. Yeah. Good luck to you.
So they win 5-2. They bounce the Astros, who had won 88 games. So Tigers 86-76, and obviously they are the talk of Major League Baseball because they are red hot. Here is their manager, A.J. Hinch.
Listen, when we started this series, everybody said we weren't playoff tested. We just passed the biggest test of the year to date, but there's more coming. Listen, I'm not sure who, but somebody let the Tigers hot.
33-13.
Don't like you.
Okay, yeah, can we... You know, get some hatred going.
You know who
here.
The manager who he was manager of before this, yeah. Don't you? Okay.
Cheaters.
So do we have to be watching the Tigers?
I think I'll watch everything. Better button it up. Better conceal the signs this week. Probably going to have Connor Stallions help him out as best they can.
They love
everything
doing that
play.
In Michigan. Detroit. Yeah. They love doing that stuff.
Got to pay attention to that stuff. That's why.
You have to go to the Army Academy to steal baseball signs
right.
now.
And if you
postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have your ear right over there to the pier. You're on East 9th.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of listening in. You can hear the chatter already. There's been some debate. What right now, Keith Britton is saying he thinks Scooble will go game one. I'm seeing the Tigers fans think he's going to go game two and game five.
I texted him privately because when you said it, I was like, does Lima know something I don't know? Because I thought he might be able to start game one because I counted.
Be 4 days rest.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, I'm like counting. I'm going, okay, 4 days. That's... Would you rather put him on 4 days, or would you want to wait till the sixth day?
Yeah. Maybe
five-game series.
Maybe the thinking is that he'd be on full rest in game two if he starts. So they know at least they'll get him even more rested for game one and then full rest for game two.
But if he plays in if he pitches in game one, okay, Sunday, Monday's game two. Tuesday is Wednesday game three?
Correct.
Then you would have him twice in the series. You might only have him once.
Well, if it doesn't get to game five.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you could have him twice in the series instead of maybe just once in the series if you pitched him on Saturday. The starting pitcher in a five-game series could pitch twice.
Yeah, of course.
But a game two pitcher might only be able to pitch once in a five-game series.
You're saying if it doesn't get to game five. Yeah. You know, it's about maximizing, you know, your chances in a series. What I'm seeing right now is most Tigers fans think he's going to go game two. And then, if necessary, game five. So, do you think that could be an advantage for the Guardians. My God,
I believe so.
I mean, hey, if we play well, we only have to see them once in a series. That would be great.
That would be nice.
So a little bit of a dilemma, you know, for them. I'm not sure on his numbers. On we did this with Corey Kluber back in the day.
He's really good.
He's really good, no matter what he pitches, probably. Yes. But
he only threw 88 pitches also in that game.
So. Do you think Hunter Brown, the starting pitcher of the Astros, was a little less upset that he gave up the home run yesterday, which started the Tiger? Well, I mean, it was a 2-2 game at one point, and then the Tigers broke it open. But he was a starting pitcher for the Astros. But he has a Tiger tattoo. He grew up a Tigers fan. He's from
St.
Clair
Shores,
story. Michigan. You think he's a little less upset, or does that go out the window? Just asking. Just asking silly questions.
Maybe his loyalty is in question.
If you're willing to get a Tigers tattoo.
Are you saying he grooved a pitch?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think he was trying.
Pick that up, aggregators.
But do you think he was a little less upset that it was the Tigers? Because he has a Tigers tattoo.
That's right. So it's a win-win for him.
Yeah.
He's going to enjoy this either way.
He didn't groove it. I'm not accusing him of grooving it, though.
I don't know. I'm reading the Houston blogs right now. It says Cleveland radio host.
There's already three different message threads about it.
They're all authored by Landry Locker.
So a couple days off here now, Detroit, who had come in piping hot. Maybe that can cool them off a little bit. Meanwhile, the Guardians, it's been a cooling off period. That's why they are simulating games like no other. I think they're simulating a tripleheader today. They got to get those boys to work. Chris Antonetti. In discussing the layoff.
I would say it's a trade-off. The benefit is you get time off. The downside is you're not in the major league environment facing live major league pitching in the normal cadence that you would be during the season. But on balance, I think I'd still take the trade-off and I'd want the bye.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that yesterday. I think still what was of supreme importance was being able to just get to walk into the ALDS. You know, we are a team that has had trouble. We had had those moments where we had lost in the wild card. So you got to get there no matter what. And obviously, if you're out there playing, ask the Orioles right now. I mean, how they feel about that. Ask the Astros how they feel about that. So I think, obviously, you take this. But, you know, this is a bit of a balancing act here to try to keep these guys fresh. You got a rookie manager that's doing that. And you hope that they can, you know, pull all the right levers in trying to get these guys ready to go. You know, you wonder who they can lean on in a situation like that. Is this a big organizational thing, trying to keep these guys fresh? Because there's nothing, you can talk about simulations all you want. There's nothing that is going to recreate what Detroit just did.
You can only do what you can do.
The last days, Detroit feels like they could play anybody at any time and beat anybody.
They're doing everything they could possibly do. Like, if we were in Detroit and we were like Tigers fans, like, all right, we're the team that they could get rusty. It's been a week, this, that, and the other. They can only do what they can do. I mean, you needed some time. You got to get some guys ready. You can only do everything you can do, and they're doing it.
Meanwhile, speaking of rest, Nick Chubb, he hasn't been resting. He's been working his butt off to get back on the football field. And what a sight for sore eyes yesterday. In Berea, Nick Chubb was back for the first time since he went down with that injury against the Steelers a season ago in week two. It has been a long time. So it was great to see Nick Chubb out there yesterday, especially from the head coach, Kevin Stefanski.
Nick's been here every day, so he's not far from what we're doing and far from what we're thinking about. And he's in every meeting. He's here very early. So this is just the next natural progression for him.
I know it probably is not the way to look into this, but were you watching any of the videos that came out yesterday? He was like, looks good. Looks good. Like you're dialed in as if that's going to tell you whether or not he's really ready to go. Obviously, the Browns are monitoring this very closely.
I interviewed Rodney for the preview show, and he was walking around, and I was looking. Oh, there he is. He's going to practice today. There he is.
Did he look nimble?
He looked nimble, yes.
Are you hearing any whispers about when he's going to be ready to go?
No idea. Wish I could tell you.
I was fielding those texts yesterday. They're like, do you think he'll be back by the Eagles game.
I'd tell you if I knew, I'd sing like a canary. I'd let the cat out of the bag.
Well, you know, we've been talking so much about Myles Garrett. Does he need to sit a week? Does he need to sit 2 weeks? When it comes to Nick Chubb, is there going to be the temptation to get him back quicker because of this start? Is that something they have to fight?
I mean, he's only ready when he's ready. Like, the 21-day window, like, we're not through the woods yet until he's actually out there in the field. Because the worst thing is if he gets to the end of the 21-day window and they're like, you ain't ready to go. And then, because that would, frankly, if it were to be 21 days and he wasn't ready to go, I'd question his entire future in the league. So this is a positive step forward, but we got to make sure he's out there sometime within the next 3 weeks.
I wonder what kind of a lift they'll get in general. Just seeing that dude. Now, you don't want to sit and wait around for somebody to save your season.
No.
That's not what we're talking about.
Especially a running back. No offense to him. But.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but he is... It's just you're watching our running game, and last year they piecemealed it together as best they could, and it was bizarre circumstances all the way around. This year, their running game, I mean, outside of, you know,
a couple of big runs,
it feels like by far the worst we've had in many years.
True.
And so it's like, man, we want to get Chubb back there, man. 5.5 yards a carry every single time he touches it, his entire career in Cleveland. And it's like, Gotta ramp up to get there. That's it for about last night.
Outstanding. There were the 2024 Browns projections, the over-under projections, the win projections. Over-under before the season was set at what? Was it 8.5 by Vegas?
Yes.
Some more, some less, but it seems to be the consensus.
They were around, I think, because we did this before the season started. They were anywhere from projected like 14th to 15th to 16th.
Yeah.
If you took their odds compared to the rest of the teams in the NFL.
Right now, Vegas average over-under as of October 3rd, 5.5.
I could not believe that it had bottomed out like that.
So the projected wins before the season, NFL Nation, let's go to the highest. Mike Clay, ESPN, had 9.9 in the projection predicted wins. Projected records before the season start. Adam Rank overcorrected. After last year, which was incredible. Adam Rank, NFL.com, had the Browns at 10-7. Will Brinson, CBS, who we brought on and yelled at. Might need to owe him an apology at some point. Will Brinson, 7-10. Breach had us 9-8.
Yeah, I remember that call. Will Brinson came on, and our mentions were just get the clown off the air. Yeah. Take him off. This is ridiculous. He's
not
being
even
negative.
That tall. His hair is not even that great.
Oh, like, and they started talking about his hair, too.
Yeah. Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News had a 7-10. Seth Walter, now this is ESPN Analytics. He had 6-11 and fourth in the AFC North. Basically,
never go in the analytics guys are down on this team.
We either yelled at these guys. Well, that's the thing. We either yelled at these guys, which, by the way, for the Seth Walter thing, if this thing goes belly up, is that a smoking gun for fans with Paul DePodesta?
Ooh.
If the analytics guys are saying you're going to be 6-11, it's an analytics heavy football team. Just pointing that out for everybody. So either we ignored them or we yelled at them, like Will Brinson. Did we get caught up in homerism as fans? Were fans delusional about the Browns?
Well, I heard...
Is this who the Browns really are and we ignored it?
Yeah, because we all had them going to the playoffs. They went to the playoffs last year. They did it despite the rash of injuries that beset them at the beginning of the year. And newsflash, here we go again. Did you see that injury report yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so long, like there were two pages of them on Twitter.
It did make me feel better, though, that the Commanders page was also
long.
Yeah, it
did.
That's the only thing. Schadenfreude made me feel better.
So I remember after the Giants game, Nathan Zagura came on the afternoon show and talked about how they were just underachieving. And we all think that. We're all like, hey, the most expensive roster in the NFL. They went to the playoffs last year with Joe Flacco, and now you got your starting quarterback back. He actually played well. We all thought, we all agreed on Sunday, they're losing to the Raiders? They lost to the Giants last week. Like, this was the soft part of the schedule. They battled, even though they dominated Jacksonville. They barely won that game. Jacksonville had a shot in the final drive. They're the worst team in football, maybe. Like, you got crushed by Dallas, and there are lots of questions about Dallas and where they're going to fit in the NFC East. And I remember hearing Nathan say that, and I'm like, yeah, we all think they're underachieving. Nationally, this kind of seems where a lot of people had them.
That's Nathan was upset, I was upset, we were all upset. Some fans tried to tell us that this team wasn't going to be good. Were fans overrating the Browns? Were we delusional about the Browns? 216-474-0092.
Cleveland media. I saw somebody was attacking Cleveland media again over some press conference questions. And I'm like, man, there was no doom and gloom here in Cleveland. Like, I don't know that there was a media
person. You guys hear Mary Kay every Thursday with us?
I don't think there was a media person that didn't have us in the playoffs. Like, I think it was 100% of the local media. While again, nationally, they had us like middle of the pack.
Yeah, I thought that the local media was pretty positive about the outlook of everything, and even the people who have historically been pretty negative about the Browns had been pretty positive. I mean, Zach, I called Zach Eor, and rightfully so. I mean, Zach kind of...
He was positive until training camp.
Yeah, Zach was positive until
training camp. When he saw them in training camp, he's like, uh-oh.
He was worried about the training camp thing, which, again, there's a lot of people who bring up, you know, Jerry Jeudy saying he was tired. And, well, why are you guys making a big deal? Well, there's people who are going, well, what were you doing? Were you doing walkthroughs in August instead of getting worked up? Well, he had an injury. Okay, well, maybe, like, there's already those questions coming out. Like, well, are we doing Camp Crennel, Camp Cupcake here? What are we doing?
Jeudy has been like
their
best guy, but people did warn us once he gets paid, what is that going to be like?
But again, he was soft tissue injury. So was he hurt? Was he not hurt? I'd have to imagine he was hurt, so I'm not going to rip him on that case. But when you lose football games, like, it's all out there. In conspiracy theories, they breed. Things that people want to hear, they breed. It's tough to do. Were we delusional about the Browns, or is this a massive underachievement right now at 1-3? I think it's the latter still. I still think it's the latter. What changed? Like, did the Browns fail themselves by not getting ready for the tackle situation? What more could you have done? I mean, there's some point where you're tapped out and you can't make any more moves for any other guys because they want to get paid too, and there's other teams that can offer them money.
I don't want to say consensus, but most of the stuff I'm seeing about this team right now is how are you not more equipped, more prepared for the offensive line situation? I've seen, remember, this is all after the fact for most people. The running back situation, knowing that you weren't going to have Nick Chubb back until at least, you know, was it going to be week 6 we might get him back? Week 7? Maybe week 8? You know what I mean? That Jerome Ford and Foreman, like, they're not going to be able to run the football all that well. And then just overall that they didn't do more in preseason and training camp with Watson. But I'll defend them in this. They didn't know if Watson was going to be able to throw the football normally.
That was a question mark. You've allocated assets to other places. You went out and you got Jerry Jeudy. Well, that cost something to trade for Jerry Jeudy. So you allocated assets there. Who were you? You're already in this hole right now with Jack Conklin. Were you going to put yourself in another hole with somebody else? I mean, right now, remember, we started the season. We didn't know that Jed Wills was going to take forever to get better. That was a surprise, I think, to everybody, including the Browns, yes. But you started the season. At the outset of the preseason, we started with three tackles that could start for only two positions. And we were talking about musical tackles and all the other stuff. Well, now that you got guys hurt, and you got one that's playing with an injury right now, that changes that. I don't know what more they could do to solidify the tackle position, unless you wanted to just allocate all the assets away and somehow go after Trent Williams, even though that was never going to happen in real life. So what else were they supposed to do? They drafted Zach Zinter. Zach Zinter's going to have to play, and he's going to have to play, and he's going to have to accelerate the process of him being able to do that. Nick Harris, you got him back. Like, they did the moves that they were able to make. But with the other stuff, people wanted Jerry Jeudy. They got Jerry Jeudy. People wanted a wide receiver last year. They were excited about Elijah Moore. They got Elijah Moore last year. They wanted to take a wide receiver. They got him in the third round. I know you'll want to take a wide receiver in the first round this year. Some people might be talking quarterback. That's for a different discussion later on because the mocks are already out. But they kind of did what a lot of fans wanted them to do, even with the analytical approach. So I think it's a massive underachieving team where you should not be losing to the Giants, and you should not be losing to the Raiders. So it makes it that much more frustrating. There might be a point where they are who they are, but I think they're better than these teams, at least on paper, but in the real life, they have beaten us.
They shouldn't have been this bad. I mean, the Browns are one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. Who expected them to be this bad?
Even if you thought
the national guys were right and they were more middle of the pack, nobody expected them. I mean, they might have had arguably the easiest schedule in the NFL to this point.
216-474-0092.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.